Today's message text is 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. You may be seated.
It will be a challenge. A short text with much to say. God, we do pray your blessing on what we try to understand and what we seek. By your grace and for your glory and the power of your Holy Spirit to apply. God, help us to honor men, husbands, and fathers who are your men, your husbands and fathers. God, I pray that you would strengthen and equip them. God, I pray that you would help us to understand the task that is before us as men, and that we would willingly embrace that task, and that we would walk out in truth, and that we would seek to honor you, God, with these qualities that should characterize manhood. And we commit it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, I want to talk, and you know, anytime you bring about a message such as this, and you talk to dads and men, it's like, well, what's the point of the rest of us being here? And there's plenty of points for the rest of us being here. These are truths that need to be understood, supported, encouraged in the hearts and lives of the people that we worship with, know, and interact with, our friends, our family. We need to be astute as it relates to God's word and its application. And I just want you to know that as men, if you are a man, God will help you to understand and live like a man. He can empower that in you. He can equip that in you. And I hope your heart will take encouragement in that, that you say, man, thank God he is with me. Thank God he will sustain me and support me. And not only you, I think of these young men and boys that are in our service and a part of our church. And my heart's prayer is, God, help them to understand what biblical manhood looks like. Help fathers to entrust these truths to their sons. Help us as a church to reinforce these truths in the young men of our congregation. So I'm asking all of us to take thoughtful note of what is said here and to apply it consistently and biblically. Much has been made about the fact that one of our Supreme Court justices doesn't know how to define what a woman is. How many of you, that's news to you? So everybody here knows what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, if not, you didn't answer, so I'm going to assume you know. It's kind of a shocking thing. What's a woman? And the answer doesn't come. Is it because there's an ignorance of chromosomes and all that? No, that's not the point. Not even in the slightest point. You see, we don't want to, in our society, there's an aspect of that that is manifesting itself that through this drift into heathenism, there's the casting off of truth. And there's the casting off of biblical authority, because there is a defamation of the Creator, who has made men and women as He designed them and has no reason to feel badly about the way He made man and the way He made woman. See, the heathen in our society, they can't even answer the question, what is a man? Either way you look at it, what are we up against in many ways in our world? As Christian people, as biblical Christians, we're up against a tremendous level of opposition. And are we prepared to stand up and to defend what we believe and why we believe it? And not only that, are we willing to own it and live it, which is really the most important thing? I think sexual degradation, insensitivity to conviction has led to the denial of what is absolute reality. People have cast off the knowledge of God. How many of you would agree with me that the world appears to be in chaos? And I think, in many ways, the world has gone mad. But unfortunately, the church is not far behind. So what are we going to do about that? We are the church. What are we going to do about that? Are we just going to sit back in the quietness of our existence and say, boy, it's a shame. World's going to hell in a handbasket. But considering this is Father's Day, my question to you is, how would you answer that question? What is a man? How would you answer that question? What characterizes a man? What are the qualities of manhood? And how would you know that a man is being manly or not? And as a woman, a wife, a mother, it's important to understand these things, because it would be those things, those understandings that should be resident in your heart, that you say, that's the kind of thing I want to support. That's the thing I want to encourage. That's how I want to show myself to be the helper that God has made me to be, to help my man, my husband, the father of our children, to be the man that God wants him to be. And you line up under that, to support that, to encourage that. So we read, as Trevor read these verses, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all you do be done in love. In a sense, this kind of comes off as marching orders to an army. As Paul is summarizing this letter that he's given, in much in the way of rebuke, he's saying, now guys, this is what's important. This is what you need to take to heart. Followers of Jesus need to be prepared to do battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And putting on these kinds of qualities is an important part of that. And if we're going to do war with the world, the flesh, and the devil, should it not be men who are taking the lead in that? How many of you think it should be men that are taking the lead in that? Let me see hands that would say that that's the case. Men need to be taking lead in that. Now, women, put your hands down. Now, men, how many of you say that's what needs to happen? Men need to take the lead in that. That needs to be practically applied, wouldn't you agree? So, can I just get personal? In the way of encouraging you in this way? And I've done this a few times. You know me. I love you. Why do you look at me like that? You're sitting there thinking, what is he going to say? Oh, see, when Pastor Chris is leading worship and he gives opportunities for, you know, expressions of, you know, breaths of praise, things that are saying, who should be leading this stuff? Who should be leading this stuff? Yes, men should be leading out in this. I'm not saying women shouldn't comment or shouldn't say anything. I think it's wonderful to women to come. But who should be in the gates ready to launch forth and say, let me tell you how I praise God? Men. In small groups. Who should be sitting on the edge of their seats ready to give the first reply in anticipation of saying, this is how it was convicting to me, or this is what God shared to me. You say, well, let the women do that. They're more vocal. Amen, right? They're more verbal. But as a Christian pastor of a Christian church with Christian men, who should be taking initiative? Who should be stepping out and leading? Who should be participating and with wholeheartedness? Men, it should be us. It should be us. I'm not saying that women don't have a place to say things. But women, I will say this. You should be encouraging your husband, not wagging your finger in his face. You know, I think Pastor Mark got a point here. You need to start speaking up. Don't you dare do that. There's a respectful and an honoring way for such encouragements to be given. Would you not agree? And should they not be given? And you say, well, man, if my man won't take the initiative, I'm certainly going to. There's part of the problem. There, I said it. Right? But part of the problem is, men, we're not taking the initiative. We shouldn't have to be sitting back waiting. And you know this is convicting. I know this is convicting. Hey, I'm not the verbal person in my marriage. Who does that lead? Say that again, Jay.
Who does that lead?
Yeah. So what do I have to be prepared to do? I got to be prepared to speak up. I have to be prepared to take initiative. Amen? And you say, yeah, Pastor Mark, that's exactly what you should do. Right? And I'm saying, guys, this is what I'm saying. God has called us to be leaders. Why are we not leading? Why don't we lead? Man, I think there's a plethora of reasons. But I think Spirit-filled men will lead. So you say, well, so this is more than just saying, okay, next time, small group, I'm going to say something because the rest of the guys sitting there are going to be wondering, no, am I going to say something? And I don't want my manliness to be in question. You know what I would encourage us to do? Get on our face before God and say, Spirit of God, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your spirit. May your truth abide in me, and may I be willing to be open, honest, humble, and contributing to this conversation so that you are exalted, God. This is what needs to happen. Now, that's all just introduction. So I want to get into unpacking this text because hopefully this creates somewhat of the need to know. What would being a man, a godly man, what's that going to look like? What's that going to look like? You say, well, isn't Paul writing these instructions to the entire church? Yes, he is. And how many of you think in those days, in those times, that the main way that the people in the church were considered was with regard to households, where men led and took responsibility? We don't think in terms like this today. We are individualistic in the way that we think and apprise things. That is not biblical. We need to have more of a household concept because it's a biblical way to view life. It's a biblical way to view the responsibilities there. And you say, well, what if you don't have like a man in a household? Well, come and talk to me and I'll be able to talk to you and share with you. But that's not the focus of my instructions today. Okay? I love you. I want to help you. But I want to fix my attention today on the men of our church and the future fathers that abide here today. Men need to stand guard. Men need to be prepared to stand guard. He says, be watchful. Be watchful. Shepherds in the household and in the household of faith are responsible for standing guard against the forces of evil and the attacks of the enemy. Who should be standing guard? Who should be watchful? Do you think that Paul thinks that women should never be watchful and that women shouldn't be alert? That there's no real need for that? No. But who should be leading this? Should it not be heads of households? It is your responsibility to train your boys and your young men to understand and grow in these qualities of manhood. This is your job as a dad. Are you leading your family, your household, and the men and young men and future fathers there biblically or godlessly? And quite honestly, there's no other options on the table. I know that sounds strong, but what else can it be? We're either doing it biblically or we're doing it godlessly. As a shepherd of this flock, my heart's desire on this Father's Day is to challenge and encourage fathers and future fathers. And I mean that. I want to challenge, but I also want to encourage. I don't want to just beat you down, make you feel bad. Okay? I want to help us all to understand so we know what God will enable us to do, what God will enable us to be. So that these things are out in the forefront of our mind and we say, okay, God, this is how I need to pray. This is how I need to take steps of faith, believing that you will help me do these things. Are you with me? Making sense? I hope so. Be watchful. Men need to stand guard. They need to, first and foremost, stand guard to protect their own hearts and their own lives. Because you're worthless if you're succumbing to evil and then sitting back and telling your family how to live. I grew up like that. That was the most exasperating thing to me. To be told one thing and see something else lived. Men must be committed to protecting their households against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And unfortunately, a man can be his own worst enemy. When we look at ourselves and say, that's not really an issue for me. That's really not a problem for me, so I don't really need to be thinking about that. Oswald Chambers, in his utmost for his, my utmost for his highest, makes this statement, an unguarded strength is a double weakness. And let that settle. Where you think you're strong, you better be on guard. We need to be watchful in our own hearts and lives. Men, husbands, and fathers are responsible to stand guard over their household with truth and righteousness as our primary weapons of defense. Don't you dare tell your wife or your children, well, I'm the leader, I'm the head of this household, if you're not making that stand in biblical truth. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a leader? Oh, no, there's no question you're a leader. There's no question you're a leader. You're either leading well or you're leading poorly. But you are leading. Because that's the way God designed this. You just can't get away from it. But don't put your foot down and say, you do what I say because I said it because I'm the head. You know, we need to do what God says because this is what God says and this is what we need to do. Amen. Young men, pay attention to these things. I look out here and I see Xander. I see Robert. Mariano, Nicholas, Pedro, Christian. I don't want to leave anybody out, Isaiah, Jacob, Braden, Corey, and even the little ones in the nursery or in a rocker. Fathers, we have a responsibility. And young men, you need to understand what it is to walk in truth, to develop as a young man of God, to be a father, to be a godly husband. We must be on our guard against the devil, who seeks to distract us from focusing on Christ and his promises. This is the problem. This is why we, when we put our foot down and say, I'm the leader, on what grounds? On what basis? On what authority? It needs to be biblical truth. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Nothing that's happening to you is peculiar to you. None of the trials that you go through in your life, dad, future dad, is unique to you. Stop playing the victim card. Stop it. It's just not helpful. You need to be watchful. You need to resist the devil in the faith. And you need to recognize he's prowling around like a roaring lion. He wants to take people down. Yeah, he wants to get you, but he wants to get your sons. He wants to get your daughters. He wants to get your wife. We must be watchful for the divisive influences inside and outside the church. Paul addresses the shepherds of the church in Ephesus, but this applies to the shepherds of a household as well. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, Paul tells the shepherds of the church at Ephesus, and I'm making application to the shepherds of homes, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from your own selves will arise men, speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Is it possible that siblings influence siblings in negative ways? Take heart. There's truth that needs to be the source of guidance. And I will say this, siblings that influence your other siblings for selfish and sinful ways, you may think it's cute, smart, or whatever, but God takes note, and there's a cost for such things. Don't mess around with the truth. Stand in the truth. Walk in the truth. Encourage the truth. Therefore, be alert, Paul says. Be alert. That's my encouragement to the men in our church. Be alert. Yes, husbands and fathers are to physically protect their household. That is absolutely the responsibility of a father. But most importantly, husbands and fathers must spiritually protect their households. I think some questions that come forward would be, what infiltrates your mind and distracts your attention from Jesus? What infiltrates your mind and distracts your attention from Jesus? Dad? Men? You say, well, nothing I know of. If that is your reaction, you are in a dangerous place. Because I guarantee you, the world of flesh and the devil is constantly doing battle. And if you're not aware of it, you're in trouble. There are all kinds of influences around you constantly trying to distract your attention from Christ. What infiltrates your family members' minds, distracting them from Jesus? And folks, it can be the most innocuous things that you think. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But where is Christ? How is Christ being promoted? How's Christ being seen? Even in the mundane things of this world, can we not say that Christ ought to be the center focus? Everything should be going through that filter of the honor and integrity of Jesus Christ. Fathers and future fathers, the instructions to stand guard, to be watchful, must be taken seriously. This is your job. This is your task from God. You should be watchful. You need to care for your family in this way. Praise be to God. The Spirit of God is there, and He will equip you to do this. You're not on your own. You're not on your own. I know. Feels like it sometimes. It feels weak and unsettled sometimes. You say, how can I guard them? I feel so inept. Because your God is the greatest God that's ever existed. He's the only God that's ever existed. And He is your God. And you can trust Him. He watches over you so you can watch over what's entrusted to your care. Your well-being and the well-being of your family depend on it. Encourage you, men. Be alert. Be watchful. Men of God must stand unwaveringly on the promises of God. He says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Shepherds and households and the households of faith are to stand unwaveringly on the promises of God. Fathers, future fathers, it is your responsibility to grow in the faith and the application of the faith to life. This needs to be a regular thing. You're ingesting. Dads, you need to be leading your children to understand all of how God's truth applies to life. It should not be an uncommon thing to sit down at a meal as a family, and if you don't sit down as a meal at a family, shame on you. And you ought to be inquiring, dads. You ought to be asking what's going on. And you ought to be seeking to apply truth to these things. Biblically, what's happening? What would God have us to do? How should these things, what should we believe? Is it easy to become distracted from this? So easy. So very easy. To stand firm means that we're not easily shaken, unsettled, or moved. That means our feet are firmly planted. Standing firm in the faith reflects your trust and confidence in God's sure word and promises. Don't we need to know the promises if we're going to stand on them? Men of God should be able to say, it is by this authority that we will do what we need to do. This is the authority that's behind this decision. This is why I think this is right. And it ought to be rooted in truth. One of the things that always should come to our minds when we're assessing the things that we're doing as fathers in the household, as husbands in the household, is by what authority? By what authority? On what grounds? And it's so easy, isn't it, to just get caught up in opinion? Well, this is what I feel. This is what I think. What do you feel? What do you think? Who the heck cares? What does God say? Yes, and you can say heck on Father's Day. You see, when he says stand firm in the faith, he's not just talking about one's profession of faith. No. Having confidence in God's teaching and promises empowers followers of Jesus to live all of life by faith. How are we going to get faith? How's our faith going to grow? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Ingest the truth. Those not learning and living the truths of Christ are living in ignorance and disobedience. There's no exception to that. Fathers and future fathers, you're to stand firmly on the bank of truth. And with compassion, you should see those who are not doing well and reach out with a hand on a firmly established bank of truth. You reach out and you pull those who are in that place to where they need to be, on the bank of truth. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 14 through 15. Paul says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. No, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in him in every way, into him who is the head, who is Christ. We need to speak the truth in love. Living the Christian life is war, and men need to be training their household because they know that that is true. We're at war, men. The enemy would like nothing more than to destroy your family. And he will, if given the opportunity. First Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Why does Paul say it like that? Fight the good fight of faith. This is a fight. It's a battle. It's a war. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, by which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Lay hold of the truth. This is how we fight the good fight of faith. As you face the pressures and struggles of life, how often are you addressing those pressures and struggles in the light of God's truth, Dad? How many times you say, well, you know, I think maybe you should, based on what? By what authority? Fathers and future fathers, do the members of your household know you to be a person who stands firmly in the truth? That's why he says, stand firm in the faith. Men need to be the men that God wants them to be. That's why he says, act like men. Act like men. That doesn't mean pretend to be men. It means to act like the person that God has made you to be. Fathers and future fathers, you're to act like men. And God defines the characteristics of manhood. Maturing as men demands that we stop blaming others for neglect and failure and start taking personal responsibility and leading those in our family to do the same. Gosh, it's so easy, isn't it? To not take responsibility. To blame something else, blame someone else. Man, this goes all the way back to the garden, doesn't it? Genesis 3:11-12, he said, who told you that you were naked? God says to Adam, who told you? He says, I'm in the weeds because I'm naked. Who told you you're naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Oh, gosh. Man, we've been passing the buck for a long time, haven't we, men? Do you think it's time to stop? Our self-preserving passivity is no one's fault but our own. And I would caution wives and women to say, yeah, but that's my opportunity. Yeah. Didn't go that well for Eve, did it? I would caution you not to go there yourself. You see, acting like men demands that we take ownership of our life and our household. The battlefield is for men who know the enemy and are prepared to fight. The battlefield is no place for children or cowards. The battlefield is no place for children or cowards. Act like men. Androzomai is the Greek word here. It means to be manly by conducting oneself courageously. That's just, I get frustrated with versions and translations of the Bible today that just don't say act like men. It just says be courageous. Because we don't want to put forward too much manliness. You know, you get too much testosterone going around. And good grief. I can say, you know, we need a little bit more chest-thumping manliness going on around here. Don't you? No, not really. Pastor Mark, you're an old dude. You know, things have changed. Yeah, and I don't like it. I'm going to just tell you right now, I just don't like it. Be manly by conducting oneself in courageous ways. The first place for manly courage is to face your own personal sins and weaknesses in the light of God's grace to you in Christ. That's the first place to begin, is your own sin and selfishness. It should not be an uncommon thing in your household for your children, if they were asked, what does your dad struggle with? What's his weaknesses? And I'm not asking you to go to somebody's kid and ask them that. Okay? But if they were, that they would be able to say, well, my dad, no, I know what my dad struggles with. He's open about this. He's very specific. He's very honest. We're praying for him as it relates to this particular need in his life. But that's very challenging, isn't it, men? Because that makes us feel vulnerable and weak. Yeah, and you say, well, yeah, of course, because it's been exploited. Yeah, I know. I get it. It doesn't change the responsibility to be open, be honest. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. This is to be a characteristic. It continues to be incredible to me. How many people I could ask, and I've done this before. How many of you say, yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I still struggle with sinfulness, and every hand in the place goes up. Amen? But then I say, so what specific sins are you struggling with right now? Incredible, isn't it? Isn't it? Men, fathers, husbands, this should be something we're open about. We have our struggles. We have our battles. This courage to step forward and to be honest about your own sins, your own weakness, in the light of God's grace in Christ for you, this is going to help you deal with the sins and weaknesses of others, and you'll be able to do so with humble boldness. Humble boldness. Not authoritative, you know, just speaking and condemning. No, with humble boldness. We need Christ. Oh, son, this is why we need Jesus. Oh, daughter, this is why Christ is so important to you. A mature person is aware of his strengths and weaknesses and is attentive to others' strengths and weaknesses for the sake of help and support and encouragement. This is what really bonds the interdependence. Immature people spend a good deal of time blaming, criticizing, and condemning others. What comes out of your mouth about other people? How affirming are you of God's grace in the lives of other people? Boy, criticism comes so quick. And why would that be? Why is it so easy to find fault with other people? Very little introspection going on when you're finding fault with other people, wouldn't you agree? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? You'd say, well, how else am I supposed to behave? I'm only human. Clearly, the Apostle Paul feels that we ought to be stepping up and walking in the Spirit and truth and not walking in the flesh. All of this, you know, I've preached through 1 Corinthians a few times since I've been a pastor. And some of you have been there for some of those. And the destructive nature of comparative Christianity is the repeated theme of 1 Corinthians. Man, it's just so easy to compare and condemn, isn't it? Corinth was full of it, and sometimes so are we. I think the idea is, are you ready to grow up and mature and put away criticism and condemnation? I mean, it just, what's the point? You shouldn't say anything unless it's said for the purpose of Christ-centered help. Constructive criticism is Christ-centered criticism. Fathers, are you consistently acting like a responsible man, training your sons to be responsible men, husbands and fathers? I am a man and I'm going to take responsibility for my life. Men need to develop strength in the Lord. He says, be strong. Be strong. Fathers and future fathers, are you willing to work at being strong? Are you willing to work at being strong? Would it be okay to say that no man should be content with weakness, that sissies are not supposed to be part of what we're trying to be? Okay, right? No sissies? Not a very politically popular statement to make, right? Well, Pastor Mark, there's sissies everywhere. That's a problem. We need to be strong. We don't need to be sissified. That is not what God wants us to be. And I would say no Christian man should be content with spiritual weakness and being a spiritual sissy. Being sissified, I think, contaminates every aspect of life. And if we're walking in Christ, we're going to put those things away. You see, soft men are a perversion. It's not what God designed. Soft men are a perversion. It's not. Feminized men are a disgrace to their Creator in the cause of Christ. Amen. He said, well, what are you trying to say? I got to be willing to go into the cage at a UFC match. I've got to be a man. Heck no, but you ought to want to. You don't need to be able to bench 450 pounds to be a man, but you ought to want to. Do you get my point? Good grief. Why are we, well, that's just not me. Shame on you. Be a man. Step up. Christian men need to work at being spiritually, physically, and mentally strong to the glory of God and not to the glory of self. Everything we do should be for the glory of God. I want to be a man to the glory of God. And if I stepped in that UFC ring, I'd want to do it for the glory of God. You say, that is just so barbaric. I know, it's cool, isn't it? If I'm stepping on somebody's toes and words, I am. Yeah. I can't even tell you the last time I watched a UFC thing, so just let that be. I think all of this needs to be to the glory of God, not the glory of self. We should be strong to the glory of God. You should be strong because God has made you strong. And you should honor him because he's made you strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord, Paul says, and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You see, our strength is in the Lord. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't need to be developed. Just like putting on armor, intentionality and purpose must be part of the training and our training of others. This is why this is important. This is why you must do this. We need to be having these kinds of conversations with our kids, dads. This is why this is important. The enemy would love to take you down, but we're going to stand, and we're going to stand in the strength that God supplies. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. And I'm going to be shoulder to shoulder with you. And we're going to fight this enemy to the death. And this kind of stuff, when you hear this kind of stuff, you see, men, you shouldn't be viewing this and going, oh, this is such a drudgery. Here he goes again, putting all this pressure on us to man up. I'm saying, this should be our delight. God says, you have strength in me. Go for it. Get after it. He's promised you. All the power you need is available for him, for you, through Christ. Christian husbands and fathers, you need to work at strengthening the members of your household, particularly sons who will be future fathers. And husbands and wives are to work together at this. Husbands and fathers lead by providing strong biblical and prayerful guidance. Wives, mothers, and children submit and respect with helpfulness. Stop commanding and be supportive. Men can be domineering without being this aggressive thing. You can be dominant. You can take that on without being an ignoramus. Oh, the words. You don't have to be a jerk. You just got to step up. Be a man. And men, women, support that guy. Support him. He needs your help. He has weaknesses that you know very well. Stop exploiting those and help him. Amen. Little, you know, prod for the women here today too. Amen. Praise God. Right? Amen. Thank you. All followers of Jesus need strength and staying power. Humbly acknowledging weakness and sin is necessary. Husbands and fathers are to set an example with open confession of needs and sins. Humbly acknowledge weakness and sin. It's necessary. You need to do this. Husbands and fathers are to set an example of open confession of needs. And I would say specifically, not generalities. Well, you know, I struggle with pride. Okay, great. Who doesn't? Would you like to tell us how? Right, Dad? You need to get down to the nitty-gritties, don't you? You got to get specific. You're going to have to lay it out there. You want your family to, then you need to. Who's going to set the example of this stuff? And I will say, I think learning how to be open about confessing your sins in a humble way is a discipline. It's a skill you need to develop. It doesn't come naturally. How many of you would agree with that? Amen? That don't come naturally. You got to get primed and prepared for that. And that should be what's happening. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul says, man, I had this thorn in the flesh and I sought God three times, asking him, take it away, take it away, take it away. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest upon me. See, there is nothing that is a deficiency in your life that Christ cannot help you with and that he can't be honored and glorified in. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. How powerful is our God in the midst of the realization of our weakness? He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. How many of you can ask and think a lot of big things? God says, I'm more powerful than any of that. You don't have any idea what I can do. That's what God says to us. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. The focus is always the glory of God, not the glory of self. Fathers, you need to lead a biblical strength training program in your home. It just needs to be what's part of your life. And then he says this in verse 14, let all you do be done in love. Men need to live a life of Christian love. See, a Christian warrior doesn't need to be aggressive and insensitive. But a Christian man, husband, father, must be willing to die for what is precious to him. Spiritually, this means taking up your cross daily and dying to sin and selfishness. Physically, this means that you put yourself between any threat to your family. You're the one who goes and checks on the things that go bump in the night, right? Yes? Shouldn't that be the man? Did you hear that? Yeah, I did. Man, if you're sitting there with the covers going, what are we supposed to do? I'm going to smack you. Get out of that bed and go find out what's going on. Protect your home. It's your task. This is what God has called you to do. Don't you dare act like Barak. Say, honey, go with me. Oh, she will. But shame on you. Amen. You see, these physical things are to transfer into our spiritual mindset because you can't separate them. All things are under the authority of Christ. Everything. A Christian man should not make exalting the glory and goodness of God in Christ. A Christian man should make exalting the glory and goodness of God in Christ his highest priority for himself and others. That is what it means to walk in love. Love, when he says, let all you do be done in love, doesn't mean, yeah, it's got to have some sweetness and some affection, a few little kisses and a few little hugs. That's not what he's talking about here. He's saying you need to exalt Christ for the good of others around you. That needs to be your heartfelt priority. I want them to know the comfort and strength of my God in Christ, and this is what is so important to me. That's the way you love people. I'm not saying there isn't some emotion and affection in that, but it's not dripping with that kind of sweet nonsense. Gosh, I got to caveat everything I say, don't I? Yeah. Because you know what? A little sweet nonsense every now and then, it probably do a heart good, right? Amen, men? Well, I was weak. There needs to be some kindness, some sensitivity, some sentimentality, but your life should not be guided by those things. Your life needs to be guided by Christ and truth. Make sure your affections are filtered through that first and foremost. That's what it means to walk in love. Men who truly love God will be filled with compassion toward others, reaching out for the struggling and the wayward. Feet firmly planted on the bank of truth. Let's get you out of there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 says, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. I like what the NIV renders that word as. It keeps no record of wrongs, because that's really a very well-rendered translation. It keeps resentment, keeping record of wrongs. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with what? The truth. The truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Why? Because Christ is real. We believe in Christ. We believe His is the victory. That's what love is all about, Christ. Men, Christ exalting love is not an occasional expression. It is your mission. Your household needs to understand this and live this well. Is the love of Jesus and the love of others the atmosphere of your life? When you think about showing and showing and exemplifying that kind of affection and concern for others in your family, is it Christ exalting? Because that's what it needs to be. Now, that pretty much wraps it up. How many of you think that's a lot to think about? Did you realize there was that many things in two verses? There may be some confession, repentance, and obedience that needs to happen as a result of these things. And that's not a bad thing. How many of you think that's a good thing? You feel conviction, you need to confess. You need to repent. You need to obey. This is what God has called us to. And brothers, I'm sincere in this. My heart is not to burden you. I'm not trying to lay this weightiness on you and say, yeah, good luck. I care about you. You have shepherds in this church that care about you, and we would love to help you. You have deacons in this church that care about you. They would love to help you. Don't try to go it alone. We're here. We're in this together. Let's go after Christ together. We need to raise up godly men. Fathers that are focused on Jesus, and future fathers that know they need to be. This is why it's so important. We need to see the gates of hell come crumbling down with the church on the march, moving forward with truth in Christ. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And dads, we need to be leading the charge. I'm not trying to burden you. Jesus isn't trying to burden you. He's there for you. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And if the Son sets you free, what? You're free indeed. Fathers, look to Jesus. He's everything. He's everything. He's everything you need. He can change anything that needs to be changed in your life. He's able. Don't ever sell him short. I'll close with the thoughts or the questions to consider, and there's a bunch of them. So, just warning you. For fathers and fathers-to-be, why is it important for you to learn to be watchful, standing guard over your heart and those entrusted to your care? And second, how do truth and righteousness become your primary weapons of defense in your household? What are some practical examples of what it means to you to stand firm in the faith? Explain what it means to biblically act like a man. If somebody were to say to you, what's a man? I hope you would be able to answer that question. In what ways do you need to work at being strong? And what would a strength training program look like in your household? And no, I'm not talking about weights, although that's not a bad thing. But getting your family spiritually strong, nurtured in truth and righteousness. How would you describe living a life of Christ-exalting love? Fathers and fathers-to-be, has the Lord captured your attention by any of these truths? Don't slough it off. Don't push it away. Ask God to help you. And trust your heart to Him. Say, God, make me a man of God. Women, are you valuing and honoring these qualities in the lives of the Christian men in your life, knowing that you need to be provided for and protected in these ways? And you say, what about us that aren't married? Oh, too bad for you. I'm kidding. I'm teasing. You have fathers. You have brothers. You have shepherds and deacons that care for you. Don't think that they don't. Support them, encourage them, reach out in time of need. We're in this together for the glory of our Lord. We need Christ to be exalted. I believe that godly men focused on Jesus Christ can make a difference. I think households can be transformed and changed. And I believe churches can be transformed and changed. And I believe God can change our nation and our world. But we've got to step up. And I encourage you, men. Let's get in this together. Let's do this thing so that Christ is exalted and your family is strengthened. God, I pray your blessing on us as your people in your church. I pray for the men of our congregation, Lord. I ask that you would build them up in this most holy faith. I pray that they would lay hold of these truths and, God, not let them slip through their fingers. Hold them firm and hold them fast, Almighty God. Bear them up for the glory of your name, for the good of their households, for the good of this household of faith, for our city, for our county, for our state, for our nation, for your world. Come and make your power and presence known, God. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord.